When the American Civil War neared its end, Abraham Lincoln spoke of the need to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan. It's the orphans we speak of this morning, orphans of the war in Iraq.
The end of Iraq's war against the Islamic State has left a lot of children on their own. Some of them had parents who joined ISIS, others were kidnapped to be raised by ISIS families, and some just don't even know who their parents are.
Some of these stories are painful enough that we must warn there is a vivid account of violence in the next 3 minutes or so. NPR's Jana Rapp visited a home for Iraq's war orphans.
Have you eaten?
This baby is the darling of the orphanage staff.
How are you? Hi, Daddy. Hi, Daddy, Daddy.
He's 7 months old, and he laughs and gurgles when anyone picks him up. He's in a room of cribs lined end to end. He's wearing a white jumpsuit, and one of the sleeves hangs because he's missing an arm. One of the caregivers tells us his horrific story.
ISIS left this baby out in the street as a way to lure the army into an ambush. The ISIS sniper shot 3 soldiers who were trying to save him. Poor things.
That's a caregiver who asked us to call her Suad. Before an Iraqi tank arrived to rescue the baby, a dog ran up and dragged him away by the arm. His arm had to be amputated after soldiers retrieved him. There are other infants recovering from their injuries as well.
I am Mariam.
Mariam was just a week old when she was brought to the orphanage. Her entire family was killed when their house collapsed in the fighting. They're waiting until she's old enough for surgery to treat a broken rib. Most of these children, though, will never even know who their parents were. As some of the babies cry, a girl believed to be about 5 hovers near a crib. She makes eye contact, and she smiles, but she doesn't talk. The caregivers don't know if it's because she has disabilities or if she's traumatized. She doesn't understand when we speak to her in Arabic, says one of the caregivers. They're trying to find her family. They think she might be Yazidi, the religious minority targeted by ISIS, which killed their men and kidnapped their women and children. The caregivers ask our interpreter to see if she'll speak to him in Kurdish. He leans down and he says to her, "What's your name, you brave, smart girl?" She doesn't answer, but when he asks her in Kurdish to bring him a ball, she understands and she brings it to him. Sukaina Ali Yunus is the orphanage founder. She's in charge of women's and orphans affairs in Mosul. She introduces us to a girl and a boy, both about 5, kidnapped from their Yazidi families and raised by Turkish-speaking ISIS families. We ask the girl what her name is. She answers in Turkish. I forgot. In the ethnic mix here, there are babies who are the children of Yazidi or Shia Turkmen mothers and ISIS fathers. Some of the young women were forced to marry their captors. Many were kept as sex slaves. Yazidi religious elders have decreed that women rescued from ISIS be welcomed back to the community. But that doesn't apply to the children fathered by ISIS militants. The women are normally forced by their families to give up the children, and some have ended up here. Orphanage founder Eunice picks up another little girl. Her father was an ISIS suicide bomber. For reasons we'll never know, her mother gathered her 5 children together and blew herself up. The little girl was the only one who survived. She seems okay. Eunice says she named the toddler Farah, happy, in the hope that after all of this, she might have the chance of a happy life. Jane Araf, NPR News, Mosul.